welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast from the audio directing haunt entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we return once again on yonder Monday afternoon-ish sometime. Yeah. We're very reliable about the date, the time, and... Yeah, but anyways, very happy to be here once again talking to you, this time about haunt pain points. We're going to be talking about painful things, about visiting your haunt and how you can make them suck a little bit less.
Yes. Customers happy.
We'll be calling upon our experience as both haunt builders, haunt actors, and as haunt, most importantly, repeated haunt customers to discuss this. So we got a lot of stuff coming here that I hope will be very useful to you guys. But indeed, before we jump into things, I would like to remind you, take a moment, go to hauntweekly.com, check out our beautiful, sexy website. We spend $19 a month on it. Please go check it out. We're going bankrupt over... No. But yes, definitely check us out there. Follow us at Haunt Weekly on Twitter. Follow us also at Haunt Weekly on Facebook. And don't forget that youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. You can find all the previous episodes there, including mysterious episode number 63, which somehow did not go up when we were doing the original upload.
Interesting.
And it's like I told the guy that pointed it out, look, that process was like 95% automated.
Yeah.
I was basically mashing buttons. I mean, something technical probably went wrong between A and B. Sorry about that. Should have checked the episodes better. You got it now. Enjoy. And also, as always, find us at Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever the podcast be. How was that intro? What's my rating this week?
Oh, that was fine.
That was an adequate one. I get like at least a 6 or a 7.
Yeah, I was talking last week more about your transition. Transition last week was a little brutal. A little brutal.
All right. Well, first things first, before we kick into the meat of this subject, we have conference reminders. Crystal, do the honors.
Okay. September 28th through the 29th, it's Scary Dad's Haunted Halloween Show Part 3 in Houston, Texas, at the Crown Plaza Hotel, Houston Galleria. Tons of vendors. Tickets are just $10. Hosted by Scary Dad Podcast, nightmareretreat.com for more info.
All right. After that, actually, it's the same weekend, so it's technically the same time as that. But this is in Phoenix, Arizona. It on September 28th, 2019, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's Arizona Haunts Haunted Swap Meet, another excellent chance to buy and sell haunt stuff. At the Metro Center Mall Northwest entrance, hosted, like I said, by the Arizona Haunters Forum, hauntedswapmeet.com for all the details.
Okay, and then the first two weekends in October, so October 4th and 5th, and the 11th and 12th, it is the Lost Souls Chicago Bus Tour in Chicago, Illinois. Locations vary. Tours have been announced. You can go and find out what all of that is.
Yeah, we're not going to list it every week, guys.
Yeah. Sorry. We love them, but yeah, that's a lot.
There's a lot of stuff. We listed it last week.
Yes. But two-night passage is $240. It breaks down very well.
And it gets cheaper the more nights you add, and the deal just keeps getting fucking better, I tell you straight.
Exactly. LostSoulsChicago.com. Be sure to also follow their Facebook page to get up-to-date announcements.
Yes, please do. They have a lot of great stuff. Look, we've mentioned this 1,000 times. I know we were on 2 of the nights last year.
Right.
Easily the best haunted attraction experience in terms of getting from A to B. They really eliminated a lot of the pain points of going to haunts here.
They did.
You know, it's interesting. Like, 3 of the pain points that we're about to discuss were totally killed by Lost Souls.
Yes. Yes.
I just realized that.
Yes.
Huh, so, good point. All right. But yes, LostSoulsChicago.com for the details. After that, November 8th and 9th, another haunt tour. It's the legendary haunt tour in Atlanta, Georgia at the Gwinnett Place Hotel. We'll definitely be touring the Netherworld Haunted House at the new location, as well as Atrox in Leeds, Alabama, among others. Legendary haunt tour. Those weird 2 T's there. You got to watch stuff that you type in, .com. So, yeah, that's all we're covering this week. We'll be back soon with adding a few more conference reminders in. But yes, as we're doing this time of year, we're going to also discuss a quick update on our haunt.
Yes.
Right off the bat, I have still not been feeling 100%. I'm still recovering from the food poisoning or stomach flu or whatever the fuck that was. That
whatever took you down.
Whatever nearly killed me for 4 days.
Yeah.
I have not been able to eat as much as I would like. I've unfortunately lost about 7 pounds in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Not planned, not tried, not through exercise either. I'll guarantee you that one.
Yeah, I know.
I've not been able to rebound as hard as I would like and not able to go as much as I like. And also, we'll discuss it more in a minute. Today was consumed with car trouble.
Yes. Oh my God, the car trouble.
We were supposed to have a good working day on the haunt thing.
Yeah.
Or at least a little bit of one. We had some plans for today. I'll keep it as brief as possible. But basically, I was going for some late night Wendy's last night.
Uh-huh.
And the car started shimmying and shaking and jumping and jiving and dancing and grooving, but the radio wasn't even on. So I managed to get the car over. Basically, we were misfiring and we had to go and replace the spark plugs. We had let the spark plugs go too long is basically part of it. Even if we only count the time we had the car, we let it go too long.
Yeah, well, I mean, so here's the thing. When we buy a used car, that's one of the things we usually change out immediately.
Right away, yeah.
But it was a fairly low mileage car when we got it,
mm-hmm.
and the dealer said they had just been done.
Yeah.
So
I doubt they had just been done at this point.
Yeah.
I doubt that highly.
Yeah.
So yeah, and they were a bastard to replace like everything that can go wrong with a spark plug change, spark plug wire change out.
Yeah.
Went wrong, including a broken spark plug.
Yes. Although we did not get any of the cords crossed.
No,
we are not very good about that.
Yeah, that is a mistake.
I don't think we've ever made that mistake.
No. And if you do make it, it's a mistake you make exactly one time.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy to avoid. And once you realize how painful it is to have that happen, you don't make it again. But so we were actually consumed all day today with that.
Right.
And the bad thing was we get it fixed. Great, and its engine's humming like a dream now. Engine's great.
Yeah.
I'm really happy with the engine. The shifter knob in the car broke.
Yeah.
Just because it can't just be one guy. And it's not even like it's, the sensor or whatever. No. You know that little mechanical switch that you push because it's an automatic?
Or an
you
automatic,
push to take it out of park? The switch freezes now.
Yeah.
Never had this problem before. Just started. It started literally before we opened the hood. It was as we were pulling back in to start the swap out of the spark plugs.
Yeah.
Why can't just one motherfucking thing go wrong at a time?
I don't know.
Just why?
I wish things went right in sets like this.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Yeah, but... So that also consumed a fair amount of time, because it turns out that's a pretty... Even though it's technically an easy thing to replace in terms of you can get like quote-unquote universal ones, it turned out to be far less universal than advertised.
Yeah, not universal.
Looking at you, pilot. long story short, we've got that fixed as well. So Crystal can go to work tomorrow.
Yes.
And we can continue making money and doing stuff. And Sport Haunt Weekly.
Yes.
That being said, even with that, even with the setbacks, we did finish in skinning and fixing the bar.
Mm-hmm.
That job was done. We still need to do the molding. We still need to paint it. We still need to finish the pass-through on it.
Right.
This bar actually has a pass-through.
We're just going to have to get a different hinge for that to finish it up.
We got to get a different part for that. Progress was made. Very happy about the progress we did finish. Do want to thank John Farrell for coming out Friday night.
Yep.
And giving us about an hour and a half's worth of really good work. It's all we really could do that night because of the time.
Yeah.
He was raring to go for a lot longer.
Yeah, but, with you still in recovery mode, we really shouldn't be out in the heat.
And the temperatures being as ungodly as they've been.
Yeah. Yeah, it was still in the 90s.
Mid to upper 90s, even at like 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, with the sundown. It's crazy.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're still working on that. Progress has been made. We also cleaned out the space in the bathroom where the bathroom sequence is going. That was a big effort on Crystal's part. Got the props we needed out of there and relocated to the rooms they're eventually going. That was actually what we were supposed to start today.
Right, it was the bathroom sequence.
But that's what the car trouble blocked and interfered.
Right.
So yeah, that really sucked.
Yeah.
The sad news is that the road construction still hasn't progressed. Even the tiny scotia progress we made on the haunt is greater than what was made on the roads near our house.
No kidding. And they're horrible.
They're in horrible shape. I actually took recent photos of the other side of our court.
Right.
I guess I got the coughs today. I apologize to our listeners.
Yeah.
But I may share some of those on the HauntWeekly Facebook, on Facebook.com/HauntWeekly. I may share them there later this week.
Yeah.
Because it is rough, and it is not safe and ready for travel of human beings.
Yes.
So, that is frustrating. We updated the crew on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
We still don't know what's up. We're waiting about another week or so. And then I'm going to reach back out to our city council person and to roadwork.nola.gov. And I will include updated images when I do. And they say, so what the fuck? You said it was going to be done by the end of September.
Yeah.
Why? Why is it nowhere near done?
Yeah.
Well, you're not even started our half.
Why has nothing been done? And it's fine if they don't start our half until after.
But they still have to finish the other side.
But they have to finish everything else that they've started.
Because if they don't finish everything else, we can't support the traffic.
Right, exactly.
So even if our side isn't torn up, but the other side still is, we still can't open because we can't have hundreds of cars go through that dirt minefield.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, fuck, yeah. You know, it's not practical. So we have begun making the plans and moved them forward to announce the closure this year. And I got to be honest, that has been murder on our, you know, goodwill to go out there and work.
Yeah.
On our get up and go.
Yeah.
Our drive and determination is just...
Yeah, that's that's why it is important to have people say, hey, I can come over and help.
Yeah, right now, I mean, that's
because
the part that...
we have no motivation.
Yeah, the motivation is shot. I mean, it's deader than old Yeller or Bambi's mom.
Yeah, because we, you know, drive on the streets every day and see no progress being done. And it's just hard to
And we're watching our chances
going.
Of opening just come right off a cliff. And so it's like, hey, you want to go do lots of hot, sweaty labor and... non-air-conditioned, hot, 95-degree heat to build a fucking bathroom stall? No! I don't fucking want to do it. Because I can't guarantee anyone's ever going to see it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it just pisses me off. And he's like, oh, yeah, we know we can just reopen it next year, and it'll be great, it'll be fine. But that's also next year. That's not a deadline.
Right.
Like, when something's, you know, 14 months away, that's not even a deadline to me.
No. And if we don't open this year, you can bet next year's will be the most detailed it has ever been.
It's going to be legendary. But, yeah, so we are silly frustrated with that. And like I said, I have been behind the scenes advancing plans. I've been doing rough sketches of the signage we're going to use. I've got my list of media contacts that I've got to reach out to if we do have to. I've been just sort of herding the sheep, if you will, if that happens.
Yeah, exactly. Because we don't know what we're going to do with it right now. So, but I wanted to, before we jump into this, we got a message this week from Ed
Frischkorn?
Frischkorn?
Frischkorn? Ed,
sorry,
I apologize
Ed.
Deeply.
Yeah.
We love you, Ed, but sorry.
He works over at Haunted Orchards at Demarest Farm.
We're just going to butcher all your names.
Yeah, we are. Sorry. But Alex Vincent of Child's Play is going to be having an appearance there October 4th and 5th, just trying to help get the word out.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it, but just all wanted to give a shout out to that.
All right, so now that we've gotten 15 minutes into this and depressed the ever-loving crap out of everyone.
Well, I don't know. The Haunted Orchards thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool, and that's also in Hillsdale, New Jersey, for those of you wondering.
Oh, so yeah, good idea to include that.
Yep.
I didn't have that in my notes.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Sorry, that was like all choppy and butchered. And
yeah, we tried to. Yeah, you tried to throw that in the last minute, and the communication between us behind the scenes got wonky.
Yeah.
All right. That's our fault. Okay. That's our unprofessional asses being unprofessional.
That's me going, oh yeah, we had a thing that we were supposed to mention. To
do. Oh yeah. God damn it. It's been a day, guys. Look.
Yeah.
Instead of spending our night time in 95 degree heat building a bathroom stall, we spent it over a hot engine trying to change spark plugs and fix other problems.
And yeah, it's never that long to change.
It did lead to one of the coolest moments as a haunter I think I've ever had. I have to share this real fast because like I said, those have been in there too long.
Yeah.
They weren't coming out easy. They weren't breaking out easy.
No.
And unfortunately, we could not find our long-handled socket wrench. I know we have one.
Yeah.
But we use them so rarely because we don't use them to build the haunt.
Yeah.
I don't know where they are. And so we sought a pole to help give us a longer fulcrum, a longer lever on the socket wrench. Couldn't find one. Crystal, in her infinite wisdom, goes into the doctor scene and pulls down the IV bag pole, which is like 4.5 feet tall, pulls that out, puts it on there. So we're sitting there with an IV bag pole getting spark plugs out.
Yes. Yes. The neighbors asked if that's what it was. So, but it worked. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Of course it is. We run a haunted house. We have an IV.
Miss Margaret.
Oh, Miss Margaret. Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, we have an IV bag pole, and we use it in the doctor scene. And yes, it is the perfect pole. So if you're ever in automotive or otherwise struggling with the length of the handle on your socket, and you got an IV pole somewhere, I'm just saying, you might have a solution.
Yeah.
Kind of advice you're only going to get here because it's probably very terrible advice.
Yeah.
Anyways, pain points and haunting. Let's get on to the actual topic of the week here. Basically, every business has what's known as pain points.
Yep.
These are things that the customer has to do that either does not further or actively harms customer satisfaction, nor does it help you earn revenue.
Yeah.
Really the first half of that is more important. These are things that diminish the customer experience, but have to be done in order to do something.
Right.
Now, every business has pain points. Haunts are not unique in them. Walmart, for example, has its reputation for lots of crowds. And that's why we used to go to Walmart at 2 a.m. only.
Right. Lots of crowds and too few cashiers.
Well, that's, too few cashiers, so long queue lines at the cash register.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. Facebook, going to online businesses, has all the privacy concerns.
Yep.
Now, both of those companies could do things to reduce those pain points, and they often don't.
Right.
You've got to make choices about what level of effort is worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of the matter is, every business has pain points. They have things that the customer has to do in order to complete the transaction and finish the experience, but it's going to suck for the customer.
Yeah.
And the thing is this, pain points reduce customer satisfaction, and more importantly to us, raise the perceived costs.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if your haunt is free or just $5, if it's too difficult to get there, if the queue lines are 8 bajillion miles long,
mm-hmm.
or the whole experience around the haunt is unsatisfying, people are still not going to come.
Right.
People are going to spend their time, spend their energy, and their money elsewhere. So, that's one of the things to think about. It's like when we're charging $30 a ticket or whatever,
mm-hmm.
it's not just that we're charging $30 a ticket. We have to look at everything else we're asking of the customer, and is it going to be a good deal for them?
Right.
Because even if it's a good money deal, if it's a bad deal time-wise or headache-wise or whatever, they're still not going to show up.
Yeah, there's a reason that we haven't set foot in many stores.
Yeah.
And that's because with the online delivery stuff, it's just easier.
And there's a reason we don't go to many restaurants.
Yeah.
It's because a lot of them don't have great food and good prices, but they don't know how to restaurant.
Yes. So then they get on the banned list.
Yeah. You know, that they have to...
they get on the they don't know how to restaurant list. This is going to take a really long time. Are we?
It's
really
going to take
up
a really
that?
Long time. We can't be sure they're open, even though they say they're open.
Right.
Things like that. So, yeah, even though we love them and the price is right and the food's great,
yeah.
we still don't go.
Yeah,
or at least not as often as we would like.
Right.
So yes, the goal you should have is to reduce pain points as much as possible. Now, here's the thing. Some haunts do have unique pain points. House of Shock had its stage show, which nuked its throughput and also annoyed a lot of people because instead of actively progressing the queue line, you were just standing in a field in Jefferson, Louisiana.
Right.
But these are five pain points every single haunt has. You got a haunt? As long as you're not a free haunt, at least one of these cases, you got these pain points. Don't make them suck.
Yeah.
Reduce these as much as possible. Sound like a good overview?
It does.
All right. The first pain point is finding and getting to the haunt. Basically, this is the first challenge every customer faces.
Yeah.
I want to go to Haunt X. Well, where is Haunt X? And how do we arrive? How do I go from my house to Haunt X?
Yes.
That is a challenge, and that is a pain point.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people like getting directions. Very few people like driving.
Yeah. Especially in places they may not be as familiar with.
And even fewer people like getting lost.
Yeah. Yes.
Because this is a basic rule. Customers that face long commutes or who get lost on the way are going to be less happy with your haunt.
Yeah.
You are going to have a bigger hole to climb out of because if they're traveling more than, say, 15, 20 minutes, it's like imagine like a review and you're starting at like a zero and this scale goes or a 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Starting at a 5 out of 10. If it's a long commute and if they get lost and they have problems finding the place and they have problems getting there, that review, you're starting at a 3.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're going to get aggravated and they're going to get...
Cranky.
And sometimes there's just not much you can do to recover from
even
that.
If you have the best haunt in the universe, even if you're a fair price, everything else could go well.
Yeah.
But you can't climb out of that hole.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can make it so difficult to get at your haunt that you cannot climb out of that hole. And how many times have we said this on the way back from haunts? I can't believe we drove whatever time for that haunt.
Yeah.
I can name a lot of haunts where if I had driven 5 minutes to, I wouldn't have been so bitchy.
No.
But instead, we drove, and admittedly, we do this voluntarily. We do this to ourselves.
Yeah.
But... You know, but we drove 30 minutes, an hour. I think the furthest we've driven for a haunt without like a whole haunt trip, just for one haunt.
Right.
It's probably 2 hours or so.
Yeah.
I think that's about
the part. About right, yeah.
But yeah. Now imagine, you know, you've got this willy kick-ass haunt and someone's driven 2 hours there and is going to go 2 hours back.
Mm-hmm.
This is their evening. This is their, not just their evening, this is their afternoon, evening, and night.
Yeah.
How much do you have to provide to make that experience truly worthwhile?
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. And I mean, that's...
Now, I admit, we're the freaks. We do that. Not a lot of people will.
Right. Because, I mean, we used to visit Mississippi quite often for their haunts, and those are 2 to 3 hours away. Easy.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's one of those things where you have to think about that. So, how do you reduce this pain point? The main thing, have a location that's easy to find. Make sure people know, have your location info easy to find.
Yes.
This is the most important thing you can do. Have it on your website very prominently. Have directions, have it so that people can pull it up in GPS or whatever, trivially.
Yep.
And have it on every cock and piece of marketing material you put out. I don't care if it's a business card.
Yeah.
It goes on there. Your address goes on there.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
And understand, it's the address is what I mean.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because behind the Target on Highway 39, where the fuck is the Target on Highway 39?
Yeah. I don't know.
there was a couple of haunts in Atlanta that pulled that crap. We're right beside the Rouse, or we're right beside the blah, blah, blah. And I always said, where the fuck is that? I'm from New Orleans, asshole.
Yeah, I don't know your city and your grocery stores.
I don't know what the fuck is... Just put a fucking address I can put in the GPS, asshole.
Yes, and make sure that your GPS actually takes what I'm getting people.
Getting to that. Shh, don't spoil it.
Okay, sorry.
But yeah, the second thing is to ideally be close to your target audience. And we talked about this previously, about how far people will drive for a haunt. And we said an hour is about as far as you should ever consider marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're sitting there going, but there's no population center within an hour of our haunt.
Yeah.
Move, motherfucker. I don't know what else to tell you. Move or plan on having a smaller audience. I really can't fix this one for you.
Yeah, and that is one of the things is that you really need to...
And one of the things we discussed in that, yeah, was it's easier to get people to go from the rural place to a city place than vice versa.
Yeah.
That's just a universal truth. City folk don't want to leave the city.
Yeah, that's true. And if you're in a tourist town, tourists definitely aren't going to go.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're there to see the city, the tourist city.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, unless they're, you know, Shawnee's girlfriend's family, and we're not going to discuss that. I raised an unholy ghost. I apologize. If I wind up dead and buried underneath the house, you now know why.
It was a ghost.
But yeah, focus your marketing locally. The strongest marketing should be done with people within 15 minutes of your haunt, and then 30 minutes and 45 and 60 should get less, less, and less.
Yeah.
This is a very geographically oriented business. Focus your marketing accordingly.
Yeah.
Number three, Crystal alluded to this. Make sure your information is correct in Google, Apple Maps, Waze, MapQuest, MapSlayer, whatever the hell people are using these days. I don't know. I use whatever map application pops up first on my phone. Sometimes it's Google Maps, sometimes it's Apple Maps. It doesn't really matter, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just make sure it's correct. And we had this problem.
We did.
We had this happen to us. When right as this stuff was taking off, we've been at this a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
I noticed that in Google Maps, 44 Vivian Court was showing up as the other side of the court.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a huge problem, admittedly.
No.
If you pulled on Vivian Court and you would see the numbers were wrong and probably go around the court, it wouldn't have been a big deal.
Yeah.
But it was a much bigger deal for Chamber of Horrors in LaPlace.
Right.
Where Google Maps and later on Apple Maps were trying to send you into a fucking canal.
Yeah. We actually drove onto the levee because that's where it told us to go. And it's like, crap, we got to get off of here. This isn't right.
Yeah. There are ways to update your business location on these services. Take advantage of them. Do it.
Yeah. And it's much easier to do now than it was back then.
That's true. But yeah, Garmin and all that stuff too. Don't forget about them, guys. People still use them.
I think my dad still has
old people, but people still use them.
Yeah.
Okay, I shouldn't say that because it's also people who drive for a living tend to still use them too.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be mean. Right. Like, so people like delivery drivers and all that typically have dedicated devices too.
Yeah.
And that makes sense because, you know, you have your phone where you're texting while you're driving.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We're not recommending
do that. Please don't do that. Also, one tip that I think is really good is put the information on your phone answering system when people call your haunt. Make sure they have that information automatically, your hours, your location, all that stuff.
We are located, blah, blah, blah.
Our hours are blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
We are not anticipating any rain closures today or whatever.
No.
Just do that, and that way they don't have to talk to a motherfucker unless they really have some kind of special need that requires something. Saves you time, saves them time, everyone's happier.
Yeah.
And also, like I said, choose your location wisely. Make sure the bulk of your audience will not have to drive too far.
Yeah.
And remember that from a customer's perspective, the time they spend going to and from your haunt is part of the cost.
Yeah.
If it takes them 2 hours to get, you know, 1 hour to get there, 1 hour to get back, they're going to look at that as part of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just sinking X amount of dollars. And not just the time they're there, they're sinking the travel cost.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that time is at least pain-free. Make sure people aren't getting lost and that people can find the place and make it as short as possible. That's the best you can do.
Yep.
Okay, number two, pain point two, parking. Look, haunts are a driving business. If America loses its status as a car-driven nation, ha ha ha, unintentional puns, we might be in serious trouble. Because we are definitely a car-oriented business that makes parking silly important.
Right. We did a whole episode on it in episode 53.
Yes. It's a good episode. Check it out. We talk about it, and we chastise some haunts and praise some others, and it goes, it's pretty fun.
No.
But yes, parking sucks and is very difficult. Parking often sucks and can be very difficult, and it can keep people out of areas. Ask any local New Orleanian why they spend less time in the French Quarter than the tourists.
Yeah.
That's really it. And I'm not even kidding.
No.
It's because every local knows you can't drive into the French Quarter because you can't park.
Right. And with the limited hours on the ferry, that just doesn't make as much sense.
You can't really ferry over reliably from our side of the river. So if you have to drive into the Quarter, getting to the French Quarter is a major pain point for locals.
Yeah.
Now, tourists who are staying in the French Quarter, they're going to get their Uber from the airport to the hotel in the French Quarter, and that's going to be the end of it.
Yeah.
It ain't a big deal. They can spend all the time they want in the French Quarter. It's great. Happy, happy, happy. I'm happy for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. But yeah, locals don't have that luxury. I mean, I guess we could rent hotels in the French Quarter, but why? That seems silly. We have bedrooms for locals.
Yeah, but we also do Lyft and Uber over if we decide to go, just because.
And that adds a physical expense now.
It does.
An actual cash expense.
Yeah.
To get rid of the pain point expense of parking.
Yeah, exactly.
We trade a literal expense to overcome a pain point.
Exactly.
So, yeah, something to think about. But yeah, basically, bad parking can add a lot of frustration. And believe me, you want to piss people off very quickly. A bad parking lot will do it. Think about how mad you get at a mall parking lot when people behave dickishly or parking sucks.
Yeah, a bad parking lot or no parking lot where you have to find, like, street parking.
Looking at you, New Orleans nightmare.
Yeah.
Looking in mortuary, too.
Yeah.
Looking at both of you.
Yeah, I mean, there have been times where we couldn't find parking. We just left.
Yeah. Had both of those.
Yeah. And other events around the city. It's
back when it was the House of Shock, we literally left one week because we could not find parking we felt comfortable taking.
Yeah. So, like, well, we'll try them again next week.
And that was the year we went November 1st, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
That's why we were there on a November 1st.
Yep.
So here's the deal. How to reduce it, it's pretty straightforward. Have a good parking area.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure it's well lit, easy to navigate, and safe for both the cars and the people.
Yes.
I think, honestly, of the haunts I can think of off the top of my head, Rise does probably the most amazing job of this.
Yeah.
The haunts we go to every year. Rise has an incredible parking lot. 13th Gate kind of smarted their way out of this.
Yeah.
By being near that casino that has a free parking lot?
Yeah, but it's not always free, and it's not their parking lot.
Yeah. They also have the underpass parking, too.
Yeah, they have parking over there, and they have a parking lot that's paid.
Yes.
That's specifically for 13th Gate.
Yeah. So they kind of, sort of overcame it through just their location.
Yeah.
But not completely. Parking for 13th Gate can still be a major pain in the ass. But no, Rise, I love Rise's lot.
Yeah.
It's a big dirt field, but it's very well flat, and there ain't no gopher holes or anything like that going to eat your shoe or your car or anything.
Yeah.
It's very well flat and very well lit, and I've never once had any questions about where I park or how it Rise. Now, we always do the same goddamn dumb thing, but it's just an us thing, because we usually shoot some kind of vignette by the Rise sign, which is at the road, but we always park close to the goddamn ticket booth.
Yeah.
So basically, we get up, we gotta shoot the vignette, walk halfway to the fucking moon to go to the damn Rise sign, and then walk halfway to the goddamn moon back to get the ticket, because we're morons.
Pretty much, yeah. We never learn.
We never learn. And we'll do it again this year. I'm about 100% sure.
Probably.
Because we're stupid. I don't know why anyone listens to us. Second piece of advice, though, is to get as many signs as you need and then double them.
Yep.
Seriously, go back to the episode we did on signs. I don't even remember what, or we talked about that. If you cannot have enough signs. Make sure parking is free if at all possible.
Yeah.
I know it's not always possible, but try to have free parking.
Yeah, because parking's not where you're trying to make your money. You're trying to make your money off the tickets to the haunt. And now if...
Nobody has paid for parking with a smile.
No.
Ever.
No.
The only people... maybe if they have, they are psychopaths and should be avoided.
Yeah.
And not trusted with anything.
Yeah. Now, you know, I think that if you do have free parking...
Yeah.
Then you could even put that...
In the promotional material.
In the promotional
material. Hell yeah. Market the fuck out of that.
You know, especially if it's in an area like the French Quarter where parking's difficult, you could say, you know, ticket price, $30, includes free parking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Seriously, that should be a thing. People expect free parking. People are already spending a ton of money, hopefully.
Yeah.
Free parking just seems like a natural extension, something you can offer.
It does.
And also, make sure it's easy to get from the parking lot to the haunt or the ticket booth or what the next step is. Make sure that it's clearly demarked where I leave and walk and what I'm doing. And if you need a parking crew, have one.
Yeah.
Don't let it be a Wild West rodeo in your parking field.
No.
Now, Rise doesn't really need one because it's designed in such a way they really don't have much of a need. They haven't needed one the nights we've been there, at least.
Right.
And maybe they do when they're more busy. But like Scout Island, they had a parking crew.
Yeah, they did.
Because otherwise, that would have been fucking chaos.
Yes, and make sure your parking crew knows what the heck's going on.
Oh my God.
Because we've been to some festivals and that was just crazy.
If ever you hear about a madman running at the Renfest parking crew with
no
a long
kidding.
Sword, you'll know it was probably me. I'm just saying. Weird long-haired bastard just came running at us with
Let's see, a long-haired person with swords at a Ren Fair.
That doesn't really eliminate many people, I know. But it was probably me, I'm just saying. Anyways, the main goal here is to make parking so easy and intuitive that customers don't think about it, and they completely forget about the experience, everything that happens from the time they get there to the time they get to the ticket booth or whatever their next step is.
Yeah.
That's how it is at Rise. I have to actively think about the Rise parking lot to remember what it is.
Yeah.
Because it's so pain-free.
Yeah.
Now, House of Shock, Mortuary/New Orleans Nightmare, Mortuary.
Yeah.
I know what their parking situation is. You don't have to make me pause and think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and 13th Gate, too.
Yeah.
Because we're like, is this the road with the casino? I think this is the road with the casino.
Seriously, pro tip. If you're parking at the 13th Gate, look for the casino garage. Just trust me.
Yeah.
It makes your life a lot easier.
Yep.
Anyways, pain point number three, buying the ticket. Ask yourself a serious question. How difficult is it to buy a ticket at your haunt? Because here's the thing. Customers are going to grumble and balk at the price almost no matter what the price is.
Yeah.
$2! You have the audacity to charge $2 for this? $2 whole dollars?
Well, and I mean, we've had people on the way in say that you've relayed this to me saying, oh, now they're asking for donations.
Yeah, exactly.
For this.
This free haunt is asking for donations?
Yes. And then they go through and it's like, oh yeah, I'm totally giving them money.
Yeah, yeah, at that point.
Like, come on, guys.
Yeah, what the fuck do you think we are, assholes? Anyways, but yeah. They're going to balk. They're going to bullshit anyways. Why make the experience any more difficult than it's got to be?
Yeah.
So how to reduce it? It's quite simple. Make the ticket booth easily locatable. I cannot tell you the number of haunts I've been to where the ticket booth is like, where's the fucking ticket booth?
Yeah.
If I'm playing Where's Waldo with your fucking ticket booth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You have failed in every aspect of business.
Yes.
You have failed. You have just outright failed. You should feel bad. Go stand in a corner.
Yeah.
Go stand in a corner. Listen to the rest of this podcast in a corner. Shame on you. Make it easily locatable, basically. Have no queue. This is not the place you have lines, people.
No.
There should be no queue or as little queue as humanly possible.
No.
If there is a wait at your ticket booth, something's gone horribly wrong.
If there is a long wait.
If there is any wait longer than like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because here's the thing. At a ticket booth, I'm not excited about something I'm going to do that's fun.
No.
I am about to hand you money.
Yeah.
And I might be having some second doubts about handing that money over. I might be thinking, oh, geez, rent's coming up.
Yeah.
Or, oh, God, you know, maybe I could go to a bar and spend this money there and just get drunk tonight or something. I mean, all there are things I could be doing with this money.
Yeah.
Don't give me time to think about those things. Just shut up and take my money.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, take credit cards.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, and I just thought of this.
What?
And I don't know why more places don't do it. Why don't they take, because a lot of places have the little handheld mm-hmm. readers that can do yeah. the credit card transactions yeah. there. Yeah. Why not just do that in the line?
Yeah.
Get people in the queue to pay.
Yeah.
Instead of having to go.
If you're senior running a queue,
yeah.
hey, anybody want to do a quick credit card transaction?
Yeah. Just... No, I mean, not even have a ticket booth to go no. to.
Oh.
While they're in line for the haunt. Just go down the line oh. and say, have you paid? Here's your ticket. Why have a whole separate place that you have to go to in order to get it?
Well, Mortuary fucks that up pretty horribly by putting the
well, yeah.
ticket booth in the middle of the queue line. That's,
No. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I'm going to leave that there.
We have gotten out of the queue line there before going in because the queue was not moving.
Yeah.
On the few times that we haven't had tickets.
Yeah.
Or just like, we're going to come back another day.
Anyways, but seriously, take credit cards.
Yes.
Take them proud. Take them often. Take them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, goddamn, everything in your haunt should be equipped with a credit card reader, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean... And if you can't or don't want to take or insist upon it for whatever stupid, asinine reason you care to give me.
No.
In the age of Square and Stripe, there is literally no reason.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you still won't have an ATM on site that is prominently located and easy to find?
No.
And speaking of the people that will pay cash, and some will.
Yeah.
Make the ticket price something easy to pay.
Mm-hmm.
10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 30. These are your ticket price options. I'm reading them off to you.
Yeah.
I think you got the pattern.
Right.
Yeah, $13 sounds like a real fun wackadoodle special until some asshole has to pay $52 for a family of four.
Yeah.
Who the fuck has $52? Grandpas. They have it.
Yeah. And if they get up there and they have 50, are you going to say, oh, sorry, you drove all this way, but you don't have
$2. Oh, dude, it sucks. You got to hit the ATM and get their 20 out to cover. Oh, no, fuck that.
Yeah.
And then 26 for two isn't any better.
No.
Oh, my God. Change sucks, yo. And
no.
And having to go get another 20 out because you're $1 or $2 short sucks worse.
Yeah.
So at least make it an amount that...
And also, at places where you have to... Where they don't take credit card.
Yeah.
We have not brought a lot of extra cash
no.
for their merch.
No. We talked about this at the merch booth and all that. Yeah, about seven yeah. credit cards. Yeah. Because we'll usually bring the exact amount we need for the tickets
yeah.
and not a penny more.
And forget...
There might be other things we want.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Obviously, they don't want it because they would have a way for me to pay with a card if I wanted to, especially nothing expensive.
Yeah, and I get it. Credit card fees suck. I feel you. I do a lot of business with PayPal, Stripe, and Square, and all that myself.
Yeah.
You do the headdress stuff.
Yeah.
We do shit with this stuff. We get it. These fees suck. But if your profit margins are so goddamn thin...
Yeah.
That is what is killing you?
Mm-hmm.
Raise your prices.
Yeah.
It's that easy. Also, don't overcomplicate the buying process. Keep the choices simple.
Yeah.
Minimize your tiers. I'm seeing haunts with like VIP Plus and VIP Gold and VIP... No!
No.
VIP is probably too many options for some people.
No.
Reduce your choices as much as possible. Keep pricing consistent, and also keep the pricing consistent across. Looking at you, 13th floor houses, including New Orleans Nightmare, and also Eastern State Penn, I get why you do it, is to try to shift people away from the crowded nights.
Yeah, and you kind of tripped over the last part of that.
Oh,
that was keep pricing consistent across all days.
Yeah.
So
across the days of the haunt, too.
Yeah.
Like, basic, and it's I understand if you want to have like the last week be more expensive or something.
Yeah,
I can get that. But I'm seeing like New Orleans Nightmare right now. If you didn't take advantage of the $13 deal, which I sure as fuck did.
Yeah.
basically, that's why they're getting a pass for me, but some stink eye at the same time.
Yeah.
They have like this rubric that illustrates how their prices change every day. And when I'm gonna get the fucking abacus out.
Yeah. Well, and going over there last year, there were people in line that had cash with them to pay, and they had $27 because that's what they thought the ticket price
was. No, today it's $29, and
yeah,
that's breaking all the rules about pricing.
It was
a
little bit more, and they didn't have the extra $2 or whatever.
They naffed off.
They did. They just said, "Okay, this is stupid. You should post your prices," and then they left.
And they post them on the website. But dear Jesus, my eyes nearly bleed reading that calendar.
Yeah.
It's like that scene where like the Holy Grail where he drank from the wrong one and like melted.
Yeah. Basically, just keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, keep it as simple as possible.
And that's just for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm just
going to say, listen to our online episode about online ticketing. It was a solid episode. We had a lot of great stuff in there. It was episode 42.
Yeah.
Listen to that. Mm-hmm. Basically, if I have any issue, any complication, any heartburn, any headache, any hiccup, giving you money, you have failed.
Yep.
That's it. You have failed. You taking my money should be the smoothest thing I do in the night. It should be butter.
Yeah.
And here's another thing to think about. The more time customers have to think, whether it's the time to go to that ATM, whether it's the time to sit there and ponder all the options on your insanely overinflated list.
Yeah.
The more time they have to think, the more time they have to change their mind.
Yeah.
They're there because they decided to give you money.
Right.
Don't give them the time to change their mind, idiot.
Yeah.
All right, number four. And we need to hurry this up a little bit.
Yeah.
Got about 10 minutes left here. Queue line. Basically, waiting sucks.
Yes.
No one
likes waiting. Episode 151, we talked about queue lines.
Yes. No one likes waiting. Even the best sets and queue actors can't change the fact that waiting still sucks.
Correct.
Now, people can wait longer at haunts than elsewhere. There is anticipation of doing something fun.
Mm-hmm.
You're usually with a group. You can talk to your friends. You have something you can do in the line. You have you're in a new place, a new environment. You got stuff to look at and talk about and do. You know, basically what I'm saying is, you know, we can have a longer queue time than a bank, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, if the bank waits longer than 10 minutes, I'm fucking out there. I'm going to do something else, you know?
Yeah.
I'll come back if I have to.
Yeah.
But a haunt queue line, I can be a little more patient because of all the things I just described, but that doesn't mean the patient runs eternal.
No.
So how do you reduce it? The biggest way is to reduce the queue time.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. Increase your throughput. Find your throughput killers. Get rid of them. Let larger groups in if you have to. Conga lines suck, but you know what else sucks? A two-hour wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you ask me which would I prefer, a haunt with a medium-sized group, but with a two-hour wait.
Yeah.
Or a haunt with a conga line and like a 20-minute wait. I'm going to pick the conga line.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I might have time to do more shit afterwards.
I'm going to pick the conga line. I hate to say that, but it's true. It's a better experience for me because at least I get in and I get out. I get to see more. And I'm not cranky when I first go in the haunt because I've been there forever.
Yeah.
Another solution is to break up the haunt. If you've got a really big haunt, make it three separate attractions. Three 30-minute queues are much easier to stomach than one 90-minute one.
Yeah, it is.
Because each time you get into a new queue, you've got that anticipation, got that excitement. And what happens is that tapers over time. 30 minutes, it probably hasn't tapered off completely. Mm-hmm. They're still excited. They're still pumped. They're still amped. But by 90 minutes, oh yeah, it's gone.
Yeah.
Pretty much everyone's just pissy that they're in a queue at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Next, have good queue actors and entertainment. I mean, it's not a replacement for a short wait, but it can help, especially if you set up the queue line so there's regular interaction.
Right.
And that's an important thing. We've been in queue lines where they've had great queue actors,
mm-hmm.
but the queue actors can't get to the center of the line.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that
sucks for them.
I think the best actual queue line...
Mm-hmm.
Other than, of course, what you're going to mention
in
a minute, would have been the trail haunt out in Lafayette. because they actually had scenes that you walked through with buildings and photo op areas and actors kinda, and animatronics.
And that was really cool because every time you go into one of those scenes, you get excited again.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little pumped.
Yeah, exactly. And it didn't take long to get between scenes.
No.
You weren't just waiting in line doing nothing.
It was only like 40 feet or so or 50 feet or so between each little shack or whatever. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I like that. But in terms of like a traditional queue line,
yeah,
that was really, really cool. And yeah, we had an abnormally long wait there, especially for the off night we went, but I actually don't hate them for it.
No, I mean, and it was Fright Trail.
Fright Trail, thank you. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I actually enjoyed that.
Yeah, I did too. It was one of the best queue lines I've been in.
Yeah. The next solution is to be creative. Don't have a queue line.
Yeah.
Or have an extremely short one. Camp Blood in Georgia doesn't have a queue line.
Right.
What they have is you buy a ticket, you get a letter, mm-hmm. and it'll be, I don't know how high it goes. We had A because we were on a slow night.
Right.
But... and you go into this little mall area with games and shops and things to do. And you get to roam around it freely. And then they'll come along, Group A, come to the hill. Your time is now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'll come on the loudspeaker and so forth and let you know that Group A, your time is now or whatever. And you go there and you start. And there's no queue.
Right.
You're in.
Yeah, exactly. And you get to do all this cool stuff up until then.
So... yeah, it doesn't change. I still waited for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But I wasn't just standing between a bunch of cattle gates.
No, exactly.
I was roaming. I was free as a bird.
That would actually work really well at Rise.
Yeah.
That technique.
Yeah, it would. It was really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there was another haunt in Atlanta that did that, too. I'm trying to remember the name of it.
Yeah, it was not as successful, but
no, because they
kinda, actually text your phone.
Yeah, they use text messages to do them. I wish I could remember the name. Yeah. I try to go back into my notes and find it. But you know, they would use but that one kind of got botched by some coordination issues. But still, the idea is there.
Yeah, it was the extreme one.
Yeah.
The one that they blindfolded us.
Yeah, I'm not even going into that. we're already tight on time here.
Yeah, I know.
But long story short, think Disney Fast Pass. It doesn't really reduce your waiting. It just means you're out buying stuff and doing other things while you're waiting.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the idea. Yep. Simple as that. So yeah, queue line actors are good. They are important. And they can make the wait more bearable, but they're not everything.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, see Basement of the Dead. Now, I know I quipped when we were reviewing Basement of the Dead. I wanted to be in the queue line.
Yeah.
Rather than going... but the truth of the matter is, I did not feel like standing in that line for 2 hours.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
It looked like an awesome party. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It would have been the most bearable 2-hour queue line I can fathom.
Yeah.
And then some. But I still would have been kind of cranky to be in a 2-hour queue line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Basically, queuing sucks. Should be minimized, if not outright eliminated.
Yep.
And I think the haunts that are eliminating that include some of the Scream parks we're seeing too,
mm-hmm.
I think they've got the right idea.
Yeah.
All right. The final one is the Aftermath. Now, we've all experienced this. I've been through the haunt. I had tons of fun. Maybe I got scared a few times. I'm amped. The adrenaline's going. What's next? Oh. Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? It's kind of a crush, a letdown.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another haunt, another activity I can do? Can I go throw some brains into zombies? Can I, can I play some carnival games? Can I, what am I doing? Paintball? Anything? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, there's nothing.
No.
That's such a letdown.
It is.
And it's kind of a hard crash sometimes. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. It's not just a haunted attraction problem. Like, everyone's experienced the, we have to leave the theme park.
Yeah.
Let down. Where you're walking out of the gate of the theme park, and you go from having this wonderful experience to nothing. It doesn't necessarily depreciate from the experience of the theme park, but it is an opportunity to expand upon what the customer does. So how to reduce it? Main thing is have multiple things to do on site. Escape rooms, games, puzzles, multiple haunts even. Mm-hmm. Have lots of things for them to do. Try to keep that energy up. The second thing is keep the energy up. Basically, if people poop out or if they have enough, if they reach their limit, then you don't have to worry about letting them down that way.
Right.
That's them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know.
We were here so long, I'm completely exhausted.
I am exhausted. I am haunted out, man. I am haunted and escape roomed out, man. Woo, dog. Yeah, I'm done. If that's the case, that's good.
Yeah.
You have fulfilled them.
Yes.
It is awesome. And yeah, to that end, I think once again, the Scream Parks are doing a neat thing because you leave like one of the attractions at the Scream Park. You've got other things to go to. You got games. You might have another attraction to go to. You got elephant ears or whatever. Mm-hmm. Funnel cakes. The rest of civilized society. You know, you got stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You got the bar or whatever to go to. You got stuff, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. That keeps it going. If that fails, if that's not practical or not possible for you, partner with another attraction nearby. Remember, they're not your competition. People aren't choosing one or the other. They're choosing a haunt versus other activities.
Yeah.
So if you partner with them, say, hey, you know, your ticket's good for a free VIP at another haunt, or it's good for a $10 discount or whatever, another haunt, send them there. Give them some place to direct that energy.
Exactly.
Keep that enthusiasm alive.
Mm-hmm.
Send them there. It's great. And if that fails, if you can't do that, do what Fright Trail did, which I thought was pretty cunning. They partnered with a restaurant nearby that stayed open late.
Yeah, exactly.
Said, hey, your ticket's good for $10 off at this restaurant.
Yeah.
And it might sound like, well, that would still be a letdown to me. It was a pretty cool restaurant. We had, you know, a Southern-style dinner.
Yeah.
And we got to discuss the haunt for the next 30 minutes or so, doing something else we hadn't done before.
Exactly.
It may not have been the perfect maintenance,
no,
but it was better than the crushing, oh, now we're facing an hour and a half drive back home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We got to come down more slowly from the high.
Yeah, and I think that we're not like normal people going through it, because we will spend that hour and a half talking about...
Oh, God, yeah.
About the haunt.
That's true, we will. But I still...
But other people don't have that ability to keep that enthusiasm for that long.
Yeah. But still, that at least, you know, it takes it from falling off a cliff...
Right.
...to a slower decline.
Exactly.
And that's what you want. You want to at least let people down gently. Just basically the idea is simple. Give people a place to spend that energy and leave them feeling satisfied.
Yeah.
Don't just shove them off an enthusiasm cliff at the end of the haunt.
Right.
Like, wham! Anyways, got to wrap this up now. We're running, like I said, short on time. Basically, these are the deals. These are pain points that every haunt has, and none of them can be completely avoided unless, of course, you're a free haunt and the ticket problem goes away. But other than that, they can't be avoided.
Yeah.
We have to deal with the finding and the parking issue,
right,
just the same as everyone else.
And the queue line.
But they can all be reduced, and that increases customer satisfaction and, more importantly, increases your cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
A, by giving customers more things to spend money on.
Yeah.
And B, because happy customers come back and spend more money when they do.
Yeah, and not only that, they bring their friends. They had such a great time. They're going to bring people to enjoy it with them.
Yeah. So basically, when you're choosing the location for your haunt, you're building your haunt, you're marketing your haunt, every step of the way in terms of building this haunt, be thinking about these pain points. Be thinking about them always, and be thinking about how what you're doing can reduce them.
Yep.
That's basically what I wanted. I think that's everything. I think we pretty much did it.
Yay!
Yeah, I got nothing else to add of import here, so I appreciate you for helping me out as I'm responsible for the show notes on this one, because this was something I was passionate about talking about.
No.
This was a Jonathan-led episode. Maybe we'll do a Crystal-led episode next week. Who knows?
Okay.
We'll see. But anyways, I want to say thank you very much for spending the past hour with us. This has been Haunt Weekly, episode 197, talking about haunt pain points, 5 haunt pain points specifically. You can find us at hauntweekly.com, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. And of course, you can find us on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever finer podcasts are sold. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we will see you guys next week when we will be talking about I do not have a goddamn clue.
Yeah.
Didn't plan that far ahead. We'll see you guys then.